is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center. About Jesus. Yes. You are worthy. You are worthy of all praise. You are worthy. You are worthy. And to you
Well, praise God once again. Since we are in the Thanksgiving season, I always like to share and take this opportunity about speaking about the American holiday, because how many of you know they don't celebrate Thanksgiving all over the world? It's an American deal. So I want to speak to that, but I want to speak more importantly about having an attitude of Thanksgiving, having an attitude of Thanksgiving. And since we are in the middle of our series on worship, I believe this is part 8, I want to tie Thanksgiving into worship. Now, us as believers, an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude should be our nature. Unfortunately, we're living in a day whereby more people have an ungrateful spirit, filled with hatred and disdain, rather than a grateful spirit. And unfortunately, that has even made its way into the church somewhat. But how many of you know that's fulfillment of last day's prophecy? It's being fulfilled right before our very eyes. It is written, it's in 2 Timothy. This is just one portion of it. If you could put that up there, Caleb. 2 Timothy 3, Verses 1 through 5, Paul's writing, he says, but mark this. In other words, don't miss this. Put this down. Do not forget this. There will be terrible times in the last days. It didn't say there's going to be prosperity in the last days. A couple amens there, but that's okay. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Here it is, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash. You think Paul's pen would be running out of ink about now, huh? Conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is important, this fifth verse, having a form of godliness. Did you get it? But denying its power. Paul writes, have nothing to do with these people. Now that's a strong word from the Bible. And Paul right here is talking about religion. He's talking about the apostate church. He's talking about a form of godliness. In the Greek, it's eusbēs, which means it's a gospel scheme. In other words, it looks right, it smells right, it sounds right, it feels right. But honey, it ain't right. Underneath, you know, it looks like the church, but underneath, it's full of all of the above. Narcissism, hedonism, nihilism, rejection, and redefining the truth even from the pulpit. This is how the apostate church looks. This is how the world looks. Amen? However, this isn't how the true church should look. We should not look this way. The remnant should not look this way. Remember, Jesus spoke about true worshipers in John chapter 4. We've been studying John chapter 4 as a part of our worship series. Jesus said the true worshiper will worship in spirit and in truth. So since Jesus identified a true worshiper, that insinuates somebody that there's a false worshiper. He even called people out in his day. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, when he quoted Isaiah, here's what Jesus said. He said, you hypocrites. Huh. Let me hold up there just for a minute. The word hypocrite in the original Greek language means like when they put a play on, they were an actor. That was a hypocrite. In other words, I don't know, maybe you've seen some of the old time actors where they used to hold the little faces up. It showed you one face, but they were the That's where we get the phrase, two-faced. Are y'all with me? Hypocrites. You look one way, but underneath, honey, it's something totally different. Jesus was speaking to the religious people of his day in verse 7. He said, you actors, you two-faced hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people, speaking right to their face, he said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Here it is. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So, Judah, all worship is not true worship of our God. Even if it's done in a building called a church. As followers of Christ, as true worshipers, proskunetes, we learned that Greek word proskunetes means a lover. It means, but it's written in the perfect tense, meaning it's perpetual. It means I love the Lord on Sunday morning, but on Wednesday afternoon, I still love him. Our love does not change. So as true worshipers, if the Holy Spirit is living in us, we should have rivers of living waters flowing from our lives. We should not be lovers of ourselves, but we should put others first. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. We should not be a boastful people and proud, but we should be filled with grace and humility. We should not be ungrateful and unforgiving, but rather eager to forgive, and our hearts filled with thanksgiving. Remember, church, it's our attitude of gratitude that will ultimately determine our spiritual altitude. Amen. So let me talk to you this morning about the origin of Thanksgiving here in America. Allow me to give you a brief history lesson of the genesis of the celebration, because how many of you know there's a lot of false teachings out there today about the true history? People are rewriting history every day. But let's look at some original documents here, but we want to look at the original Thanksgiving, a brief history lesson, the genesis of the celebration. And I want to give you a reason why on Thursday we're going to all gorge ourselves with turkey and stuffing, sweet potato pie, and cranberries. Amen? We don't do it in vain. There's a reason why we do it. Come on, church. So here's a brief summary. Here it is. In the early 1600s, the separatists, by the way, this is interesting when I was researching, the separatists who came here on the Mayflower in 1620, they actually called themselves the Saints. They called themselves, because they were a holy people. They didn't say that with pride. Are there any saints in this building? A few of you? No, wait. You need to understand this. Are you a saint of God or not? Let me see your hand if you are. I don't care how bad you messed up last night. I don't care how bad you messed up this morning on your way to church. It doesn't matter. You are a saint of God, not by what you did, but somebody, because of what Jesus did on a cross. You are a saint of God. Know that. So the separatists refer to themselves as saints. Along with the pilgrims, they made their way to America. The main purpose for leaving England and traveling to the quote-unquote New England, if you will, was because of their desire for the freedom of worship. This is unequivocally evident in the first legal document drafted on the Mayflower, even before they set their foot on the shores of what we now know as America. This is known as the Mayflower Compact. So if you could put that up there for me, Caleb. Here's the original Mayflower Compact. It reads, "In the name of God, amen. We, whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign King, Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God." Do you hear this first document, somebody? And here it is, the advancements of the Christian faith. They were missionaries coming to America. And the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic. That's the Mayflower Compact. So it's clear that the early settlers came here for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They weren't coming here in the name of Islam. They weren't coming here in the name of Buddha. They were coming here in the name of Jesus Christ. They were obeying Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts 1, that states the gospel, to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you have to remember, at that time, the United States was the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, not only did they desire to spread the gospel, they desired the freedom of worship. The Church of England was, and still is today, in 2022, run by the state. The church is run by the state with the queen or the king, it's now a king, as the supreme governor over the church. They did not want a state-run church. Could you imagine if the politicians in America were to run the Church of Jesus Christ here? Let me say it in two syllables. Police. That's why, saints of God, we have our First Amendment. States, here's what it states. Congress shall make no law. Somebody say no law.
No law.
Respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It doesn't say that they can't prohibit the free exercise of worship unless there is COVID. But how many of you know they're trying to shut the church down a couple of years ago? Our friends visiting from Oakland, California, I guarantee you know that all too well out in the left coast. Thank God there were some churches that had some backbone that stood up to a tyrannical government and went on to beat them in court as well. So thank God. So the government cannot make any law to prohibit our worship. They can't fabricate something in the future. There's no law. Just an FYI here, this First Amendment, listen, was written to keep the government out of the church, not the church out of the government. How many of you know we need some folk that are Holy Ghost filled, not just wear the label Christian and throw out scriptures, not a pastor who prays in, when he ends his prayer, he says, amen and a woman. Just trying to contrast the light, the contrast, this nation that we're living in. With the invention of the Gutenberg press in the 15th century, Bibles were becoming available to the common man. Therefore, we had our first English Bible in 1611, which many of you still have. It's called the King James Version. Any King James people in here still? It was 1611. This is just before the pilgrims made their way to the Americas. So with the spreading of God's written word to the people in the 15th century, they began discovering God's truths for themselves. How many of you know the truth will set you free? They wanted to worship however, whenever, wherever, and whomever they wanted to. They discovered that a secular government should not oversee and run the Church of Jesus Christ, but rather it should be governed by elders and deacons that are filled with the Holy Ghost. This is our history as a nation. However, during their journey of the shores to America, as well as their first winter season in the new land, 52 people out of 102 that were on that initial voyage lost their lives during this transition, during the birth of this great nation. You could go online and they have the names of all of the people, all 102, and the ones and the ages of those who lost their lives to come here for the freedom of worship. How many of you know we need to be grateful for their sacrifice? Come on, somebody. Listen, there is no place on earth where people of every color, every religion, every ethnicity, whether man or woman, can prosper because of the opportunity here in the United States of America. Current statistics, the highest grades in academia today are Asian Americans. The most successful immigrants coming into our nation today are Nigerians. Did you all hear what I just said? So please don't blame your failure on America. Look in the mirror, somebody. Don't blame it on the government. Don't blame it on some other people. Look in the mirror. As crazy as it is in America right now, I don't think any of us want to return to our land of origin. I have no interest in returning to Europe, none, as crazy as it is over there. Not sure how you feel about returning to your motherland, but the beautiful thing about America, if you think the grass is greener from where you come from, honey, nobody is holding you back. Growing up, we used to have a saying, don't let the door hit you. Watch your mouth now. Don't finish that for me. We're recording this. We don't want to have to bleep somebody out here. But I think y'all got the picture. Amen. Watch this now. Cuba. Beautiful island. Beautiful beaches. Beautiful weather. But nobody's busting down their doors for citizenship. There are no other borders on the face of the planet that are being overrun like the borders of the United States. But there's a lot of American haters out there that say how wicked this country is. But listen, even in the middle of all this tragedy with the pilgrims and the separatists and all the despair, losing loved ones and children, the pilgrims, in the middle of all of it, the pilgrims had a harvest festival just to set apart one day and recognize God our Father and His Son Jesus Christ for their provision. In the middle of their immense struggle, they took time. Listen, they purposed, they chose to worship, they chose to pray, they chose to give thanks to God Almighty. They understood the biblical principle of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which reads, rejoice always. If you could put that up, Caleb. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in most circumstances. Give thanks when everything is going right. No. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you, Judah, in Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody give me an amen there. This is the true worshiper. This, we're talking about worship. This is the true worshiper. Remember, worship is not what we do, it's who we are. So contrary to what is now being propagated by the media and even taught in many of our schools with this crazy 1619 project, that America was founded as a wicked nation, let me tell you something. This foundation of a great nation, it was founded on prayer, it was founded on worship, it was founded on the Word of God, and it was founded in Judeo-Christian principles and thanksgiving. Somebody thank God. So let's continue with our American history. Roughly 150 years later, and after the Revolutionary War, we broke free from England and became a nation in 1776. Now, just to give you a little history of the building here, this congregation, not the building, but the congregation that we purchased this building off of, was formed in 1784. They used to meet down by the rivers. And then eventually, in the 1800s, John McKee designated this property for religious purposes. They built the first building, I believe it's 1809. They tore it down, built a second building, tore it down, built a third building, tore it down. This is the fourth structure built in 1900 from the church that originated in 1784. So, honey, there's a long history of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ on this corner of McKeesport. Come on, somebody. So the Civil War breaks out in 1861, and in the darkest hours of the war, in 1864, a Holy Ghost-filled president named Abraham Lincoln makes a national proclamation, which partially reads, if I can have my slide up there, please. Now, therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart the last Thursday in November next as a day which I desire be observed by all my fellow citizens, wherever they may be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, the beneficent creator and ruler of the earth. Come on and give our God a praise. So once again, in the middle of immense tragedy, brother fighting against brother, and in that war, in the Civil War, we lost more Americans than any other war that we've ever been in, even until today. We lost more lives in the Civil War than we did even in World War I and World War II. So in the middle of this dark, dark time, the President of the United States sets aside a day. He purposed to recognize that our God is our Father. He is God. He is the creator of the universe. And whatever we're going through, no matter how dark the night is, he still deserves our thanksgiving and praise. No matter what we're going through, listen, I want to encourage you, we need to give praise and thanks unto our God. So my question is, why don't they teach this in the public schools today? Oh, it's not politically correct. We might offend some little cupcake, or some little snowflake might be offended that you mentioned God. No. They'd rather teach a curriculum that teaches your 8-year-old how to transgender. No. They want to have drag queen story hour in schools today. I'm not even making this up. This is going on in public schools today. I hope somebody's hearing me. Isn't it true? We're living in bizarro land. Our current administration just launched a policy for the military to have family night drag queen hour. It's spending thousands and thousands of your dollars propagating this debauchery. So why don't they teach this history and give God his glory? So Lincoln even goes on in his proclamation to encourage every fellow citizen to humble themselves. Could you imagine a day when a politician would humble themselves? My God. Huh. Humble themselves and pray with supplication for harmony and unity to return through the land that God himself gave us. How many of you know God himself gave us the United States of America? He established these United States. Well, Pastor, can you prove that in the Bible? America's not mentioned in the Bible. Au contraire, my little friend. I am so glad you asked. Can I show you America in the Bible today? I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. So let me run down a little rabbit trail here. It's a little off topic, but it's a good point for you. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 17, verse 26, I'm going to show you America clearly in the Word of God. The Bible says from one man, he's talking about Adam. He, meaning God, made all the nations. Is America a part of all the nations? You got it? From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit not just Palestine or the Middle East, but the whole earth. And he, meaning God, marked out their appointed times in history. Let me just give you a quick rundown of God pointing out and laying out our boundaries. In 1492, there was a young Italian boy named Christopher Colombo. You know him by Christopher Columbus. He changed his last name. He sailed for Spain for King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella in 1492. Christopher Columbus, by many, they believe he was a messianic Jew. They believed he was Jewish by birth, but he was a believer in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? He sailed in 1492. Why 1492? What does that have to do with anything? Well, that is when the great Spanish Inquisition was going on, when the Spaniards began to persecute the Jewish people. They gave them a date. I forget what the date was. I think it's the 9th of Av on the Jewish calendar. They said, by this date, you either have to convert to Catholicism, move out of the country, or we're going to kill you. That was their choice. That's the Spanish Inquisition. So while Spain was kicking the Jews out of their country, Christopher Columbus was led by the Holy Spirit across a large body of water. They didn't even know what was on the other side. When they arrived here, he actually established a safe haven for the Jewish people for the centuries to come. Come on, somebody. And he did this all under four blood moons. If you've been a part of the teaching where we talk about the tetrad and the four blood moons, there were four blood moons which were on Feast of Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles four times. Under those blood moons, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And we've become a safe haven for the Jews. There were more Jewish people living here in the United States than they were living in Israel up until just recently. So God appointed the discovery of America. It says he appointed their times in history and, watch, the boundaries of their lands. In other words, God established our borders. He appointed the discovery of America according to his calendar, and he established our boundaries, our borders. How many of you know nations have borders? That's what defines them as a nation. And borders, listen up, are to be protected. Every nation on earth has border enforcement. I've been to many nations around the world, and I've never been told, hey, just come on in. Never. They always ask for documentation. Who are you? Where are you going? Can I have an address where you're staying? They want to know who's coming into their nation. But this business, listen to me, of open borders to everyone is not only dangerous, it's ungodly. You have major sex trafficking coming in through our southern border. You have these young girls who are being raped by the thousands. You have cartels smuggling in drugs. Let me give you just a few statistics. In 2021, with these open border policies, there were approximately, listen to this, this is from the federal government, approximately 100,000 fentanyl deaths in the United States. And in 2022, this year, we're going to break that record. Does somebody hear what I'm saying? Fentanyl overdoses is one of the leading causes of deaths in adults between the ages of 18 and 45. I hope somebody's hearing this message this morning. According to the DEA, the vast majority of fentanyl is created in China. And it comes through the Mexican border. More than 90% of the fentanyl that comes into the southern border via drug mules and through the southern Mexican border. And I'm here to tell somebody it can be stopped if we wanted to stop it. We can stop it. Why don't we? Here, ask this question. Follow the money. Saints of God, in practical terms, no nation on earth can sustain this influx of people that we're taking in. But pastor, shouldn't we be compassionate to the hurting people and let them in? Yes, and we are. However, there's a procedure. It's called vetting. We have laws. I have several friends in this country right now that are going through the procedure. It's time consuming and it's expensive, but it's the right thing to do. Amen. It's the godly thing to do. Here, let me make it even more practical for you. In your home, do you leave your borders unlocked? Does anybody leave their doors unlocked? No, you protect your nation. Come on, somebody. Nobody leaves them for just anybody to come in. Would you let any stranger from the street just come and stay in your house and sleep in your home with your children in the house? It's insanity, saints. Help yourself to the refrigerator. Buy them a cell phone. Throw them the keys to the car. Would anybody do this in their right mind? No. Does that mean you're not compassionate? No, it does not mean you're not compassionate. There are security issues, and the first item on the agenda of the adult in the house is to keep everybody safe. Let me give you a scripture. If you do not provide, and that's all encompassing, for your own household, you're worse than an unbeliever. You're worse than an infidel. That's what my Bible tells me. Also, everybody, including nations, have limited means. You don't have the finances to feed another 10 people every day in your house. Let me get back to Abraham Lincoln. He goes on in his proclamation to encourage every fellow citizen to humble themselves and pray with supplication for harmony and unity to return throughout the land that God had given us. How many of you know that we can use some prayer and fasting in the United States of America today? You see, Abraham Lincoln was a student of the Bible, and he understood 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, and they'll pray, and they'll turn from their wicked ways." He said, then. Come on, somebody say, then. See, that's conditional. If then, if you do these things, then I will hear from heaven and heal your land. We can't expect the ungodly to pray. We have a hard enough time getting the church to fast and pray. Come on, church. But we want healing in our land. History tells us that 1 year later, in 1865, the Confederate Army surrendered and we became one nation under God. And with the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves were finally set free, and this was just the first step of living up to our Constitution that states all men, somebody say all men, all men are created equal. We're talking about the power of giving thanks. We're talking about having a grateful heart. Could you imagine today if a president tried to make a national proclamation to set aside a national day to recognize God, namely Jesus Christ, with prayer and worship and fasting and celebration? Could you imagine how many uprisings there would be? Nowadays, the tables are turned upside down. Evil's good. Good is evil. Bitter is sweet. Sweet is better. Men are women and women are men. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, woe to them who think like this. But that's where we are as a nation today. Everything is upside down. So listen, saints of God, let's not deny American history. Let's not be like the ostrich and bury our heads in the sand. The USA has some major blemishes with its trail of tears and slavery topping the list. But as a nation, listen, we've repented, meaning we've changed our minds. And the evidence of this is that we changed our laws. So thank God, somebody, we're not where we used to be. Judah, you are living proof. Look at us. We're all mixed up in here. We got all kind of levels of melanin flying around. down in this house. We worship together and we pray together and we cry together and we laugh together and we hug one another. And come on, somebody. And we're worshiping with one another. This is Abraham Lincoln's vision. We are fulfilling it. Come on, somebody in the house. We need, as the church, need to set the example for unity in the world. The Bible says the world is going to come to Jesus by how well you preach or how well you know your Bible. No, no, no. John 13:35 says it's by this that all men will know that you are my disciples. It's that you have love one for another. Oh, I wish somebody in a house would help me. My God. Listen, every nation on earth has its dark spots. I don't care what nation you look at, Spain, Germany, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Egypt. But we don't judge the entirety of a nation in just by one era. Do you want somebody to judge you on your wicked past? Especially not, if you've repented and you changed your ways. If years ago you were an addicted prostitute, do you want people to still identify you as such? But a lot of people still want to identify America back in the 1800s. What was the Virginia Slims commercial? You've come a long way, baby. Because listen, today you are now in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Somebody in the house of God, thank God we're not where we used to be as a nation or as a person. Come on, somebody. Thank Him. So the lesson here, church, is this. No matter how dark the night might be, there is power in confession. There's power in giving thanks. Whatever you're going through personally, I don't know what you're going through. But learn like Abraham Lincoln. Learn like the pilgrims. Psalm 100, verse 1. Watch this now. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Yes. Let me break this down for you as we go through these five verses here. Shout in the Hebrew is ruah. It means to give a blast, either with the shofar or with your mouth. Figuratively, it means splitting the ears. How many of you know when something's real loud, it breaks your ear? Shout! Woo! Break somebody's ear with your shout! Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. No! Ruah! Shout! Give a blast! Open your mouth! Blow the shofar! Whatever you gotta do, shout! Not only the Israelites, no. It says all the earth. Honey, if you're a Gentile, that includes you. Come on, somebody. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs, verse 2 says. Worship, abad, in the original Hebrew language means to become a slave. It means becomes a servant. In other words, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And it's in one translation, it says, come into His presence. That word in the original Hebrew language is panim. Not just His presence, like in He's another part of the room. No. Panim means face to face. So we shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We shout unto the Lord all the earth. We worship the Lord with gladness and we come panim, face to face. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord as God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The word know in the Hebrew is yada, not meaning just knowing Him intellectually, but knowing Him experientially. See, watch. I not only know that He's faithful in the Scriptures because I've seen what He's done time and time again, but no. Now I know Him to be faithful personally to me. Come on, talk to me, somebody. When I was sick, He healed me. When I was thirsty, He gave me a drink of water. When I was hungry, my Lord fed me. When I was lonely, He was a friend that stuck closer than a brother. When the river was raging, He was my bridge over troubled water. When the turmoil and chaos came to my front door, He was my shalom. He was my peace that passed all understanding. Come on, somebody. Now watch this. This is an interesting play on words here. Watch. The word says, know the Lord is God. Lord is Yahweh. That's your personal God. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. That's a personal God. It's something personal to me. Jehovah Tsidkenu, He's my righteousness. Jehovah Nisi, He's my banner. That's our personal God. Know that this personal God is the Lord is God, Elohim, meaning the creator of the universe. So my personal God is the creator of the universe. Come on, somebody should get happy now. That's your daddy we're talking about. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Here it is, give thanks to Him and praise His name.
Yes, Lord.
Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Tauda, those are just little expressions in the Hebrew language. There's several words for thanksgiving and praise in the Hebrew language. The Bible says to give thanks, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Tauda, it's little expressions like, thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Bless your name today. No matter what I'm going through, Father, I thank you, Lord. I've resolved in my heart, Father God, that I'm just going to bless you. But then it says, go into His courts with a tehillah. It's with a song, because now that little, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As you walk through the vestibule, through the gate of thanksgiving, you come into the court called praise, and every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, I sing praises to your name. And it turns into a song. Come on, y'all with me here. It becomes a song, these little thanksgivings. The tauda becomes a tehillah as we're making our way. And a tauda not only means to make a little confession, but it means to make a sacrifice of thanks. How many of you know a sacrifice got to cost you something, or it's not a sacrifice? Sometimes we're tired. We don't feel like coming to church. Sometimes we don't feel like, come on, do I got a witness in this house? Come on, somebody. I'm going to run to the house of the Lord when the doors are open. Because sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes you got to let your little pride at the door, or your little ego at the door, or your little attitude, your little stinking thinking, leave it outside the sanctuary. But come in with thanksgiving. Come in with a song. Hey, Robo Sharabo. From the thanksgiving to the song, the Bible says that we bless His name. Meaning we fall on our knees. The word in the Hebrew is barak. We fall on our knees to worship. Now we're in our posture of worship and ready to enter the Holy of Holies. Listen, church, Psalm 100 is the prescription for entering in to the Holy of Holies. Our worship begins with thanksgiving, with the tauda, then tehillah, the song of the praise, and included in that word is yada, which is, come on, it's your namesake. Judah. How do we do Judah? It means the lifting of your hands.
Or do I got to go through this all again?
Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, Father. Even though my wife was chewing me out on the way to church today, hallelujah, I'm still going to love you, Jesus. My kids were acting up. I'm going to say, I sing praises to your name. Hey! Lift up holy hands. Hey! And it brings me to my knees. As we see him, Panim, face to face. Lastly, in verse 5, it tells us why. Come on, we sang this song this morning. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness, come on somebody, continues through all generations. If there's somebody in this house this morning that's thankful that he's been faithful to you and through all generations, I wish somebody give him 15 seconds of praise. Come on. Hey. He's good. It's a good, good Father. Come on, church. Hey. My God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, we thank you, Father. Let me summarize this up for you this morning. We're talking about Thanksgiving as a part of our worship. How many of you know that Thanksgiving isn't just a day or a season for the true believer in Christ? It should be a part of us every day. The pilgrims had plenty to gripe about, but they chose to give thanks. Abraham Lincoln had plenty to complain about, plenty to worry about, but he chose to give thanks. Paul the Apostle was beaten, flogged, received 39 lashes 5 times, stoned, shipwrecked. What have you gone through? And I'm not even done with the list. Went without sleep, without food, and he was imprisoned just for preaching the gospel. Yet Paul the Apostle chose to give thanks. He writes these words to the Philippians from a prison cell. He says, in all things, somebody say all things,
all things.
Give thanks. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. If you put that up there, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4, please. Hallelujah. Did we miss one? Well, I'm going to read it anyhow. Y'all should probably know this. There it is. Rejoice in the Lord
always.
And again, I say rejoice. So don't miss this. Paul, hey, if you missed it the first time, I said, no. Listen, rejoice. Next verse, please. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Next, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And shalom, the peace of God, which transcends all under. Honey, you're not even going to understand why you're going through hell and there's peace in your soul. It's over your head, honey. This is spiritual principles we're talking about here this morning. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the word of God. No matter what we're going through. Not like a pastor told me years ago, you're either going in, you're in the middle, or you're coming out. But one way, you're going through something. Let me give you a revelation. It's called life. And nowhere in my book does it say that a saint is exempt. As a matter of fact, here, let me give you a promise. You probably won't put this on your refrigerator, but let me give you a promise out of the Word of God. It says, all who want to live godly will suffer persecution. And put that on your refrigerator. So we can't pick and choose out of it. Listen, this isn't a buffet, honey. You got to eat it all. You got to eat it all. Caleb, can you cue that video for me, please? Here's the question, saints of God. We're going to wrap this up here with a little worship. In the middle of what you're going through, here's the question. Will you choose to give thanks? Will you choose to worship Him? Will you choose to just let it bubble up in you? If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't have to understand it. Paul is clear about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the Bible says the mind is unfruitful. But begin to just give Him thanks, and it'll turn into a song. It'll turn into the throwing up of your hands. It'll turn into your worship. But you have to choose, honey, to make that first step. So I want to encourage somebody, if you need the peace of God in your life, begin to give thanks. Develop thanksgiving as an attitude in your life. Be the true worshiper. Be the proskunetes, the one who wakes up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, thanking God. It's a part of your everyday life. Thanksgiving is not what you do, but it's who you are. Be grateful. Be appreciative. Thanksgiving is a choice that we make. I, Michael Urisha, choose to be thankful. What about you? Come on, put your hands together, give our God a praise. Go ahead, roll the video.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.